You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Matt Peck, Bulls writer at LockedOnBulls.com, as well as the host of the 312 on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. We are live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio Network every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. You can follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Follow us on Twitter. We're at Locked On Bulls. I'm at Bulls_Peck. Jordan's at Jordan C. Malley. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Again, that's 331-979-1369. For all of your Bulls inquiries, thoughts, comments, questions, etc., send us some texts, send us some voicemails. We'll do a full mailbag on Wednesday per usual. Well, welcome to another week of Bulls talk. And I'm holding down the fort today without Jordan. Jordan is off. So you got me. For today's episode, we are going to dive into all of the content from today's media day on tomorrow's episode when we get Jordan back. So Tuesday's episode will cover everything from media day, what we heard from players, what we heard from Hoiberg, what we heard from the front office. Looking forward to that. Hope everybody is looking forward to media day today. I saw an old flashback photo that Scottie Pippen posted on his Twitter feed this morning of a media day with him, MJ, and Dennis Rodman, and my heart just about exploded. So excited. Today officially begins year two of the rebuild with media day today, and then tomorrow, the first of three scheduled double practice days. We are here. We have finally made it through the dog days of summer. NBA basketball is back. Bulls basketball is back. First preseason game right around the corner. So with that, a little bit of housekeeping stuff. Some news broke earlier this morning as far as the Bulls and their television broadcasts. In case you didn't see this on Twitter, Casey Johnson, friend of the pod who covers the Bulls for the Chicago Tribune, posted this, which looks like an official statement from the Chicago Bulls PR, saying that after almost five decades, longtime Bulls announcer Neil Funk to cut back 20 games of the 18-19 season. This is a direct excerpt from that statement. As Neil Funk enters his 28th year announcing Bulls basketball, there will be a slight variation to his continued play-by-play prowess as he will be cutting back 20 regular season road games from his announcing schedule during the regular season. He will call all preseason games and all home games. So, no word yet as far as who will pick up the slack for those 20 extra road games alongside color commentary guy Stacey King. Of course, Chuck Swirsky and Bill Weddington have been holding down the radio broadcast for the last several years. Some speculation that perhaps Chuck will take over in Neil's absence as TV play-by-play guy. But no official word on that yet. I like this news. Look, Neil has been doing this job for a long time. And I tease him every now and then on Twitter when he makes a mistake, calls players by the wrong name, has a bad take. But to me, like... listening to Neil call games still makes me think of my childhood, because like I can recall certain calls that Neil Funk made of epic moments of Michael Jordan and epic moments in Bulls history. So to me, Neil Funk and Neil Funk's voice will always be synonymous with being one of the luckiest kids in history who was a diehard basketball fan who got to grow up watching the Bulls of the 90s. Neil Funk will forever be synonymous to those parts of my childhood, because that voice is the voice that I remember calling those plays. But I think there's no denying that Neil's getting a little older. And part of the reason that he decided to make this step down or take some of these games off is that he has been doing this for a very long time. And NBA travel, which he does alongside Stacey King for all of these 41 road games, it takes a toll physically and mentally. And look, I think Neil has gotten to the point in his career where he's certainly allowed to take some time off. We just saw a similar kind of ending of a very long career in Chicago sports broadcasting with Hawk Harrelson and his final day in the booth yesterday in the finale of that Cubs Sox crosstown series. So yeah, when people in broadcasting reach this certain point in their careers, I think it's totally fine for Neil to say, you know what, I want to take a step back. And the Bulls organization, to their credit, immediately said, absolutely, we will accommodate that request. This is a quote, speaking of, by Bulls president Michael Reinsdorf, son of owner Jerry Reinsdorf. Neil has established an impressive NBA broadcasting career spanning almost five decades. We appreciate everything Neil does. He's a pro's pro who brings a wealth of basketball knowledge to every game. When he came to us with this request, it was an easy call. After more than 40 years, he has more than earned a few games off. We hope he and Renee enjoy their well-deserved breaks during the season. So that's from Michael Reinsdorf. But from the perspective of a fan who is going to watch all 82 of these games this season, I'm really curious to see where the Bulls go with getting a replacement to fill in alongside Stacey King for those TV broadcasts. And I wouldn't be upset if they just say, here's an easy solution. Why doesn't Chuck take the TV broadcast and we'll find somebody else to fill in alongside Bill Wennington to do the radio? I'd be fine with that. But I think I would prefer the Bulls to use this opportunity to maybe try somebody new, try a fresh voice to do play-by-play for these Bulls games. And it's not something I ever was wanting to get into when I decided to, switch my career path from acting and performance into sports media. I always wanted to be the fan talking about the game after it happens. Play-by-play is hard, and I have great respect for the people in this industry who do it well, because there is a great difference of enjoying watching a game as a sports fan, whether you're talking about basketball or any other sport, because the person doing the play-by-play is amazing at what they do, and enjoying that broadcast and that game a little less because the person doing play-by-play doesn't really make you feel like you're there and part of the action, or they don't have the breadth of knowledge of that team, of those two teams playing against each other, the players on those teams, and what's going on in the moment. Some people make a lot of money calling play-by-play, and for whatever reason, they climbed a ladder and have the jobs they have, and I'm sitting there in my living room thinking, oh my God, I don't even want to do play-by-play, but I could do a better job than that. And some of that is my ego, of course, as a sports fan who watches a lot of sports on TV and as someone who has broadcasting in his background. But look, it is such a hard job. I want the Bulls to see who they can find, who is deserving of this opportunity, who might be a fresh face that Bulls fans haven't had the pleasure of seeing in the head play-by-play broadcasting chair, courtside. Big shoes to fill with Neil Funk. Big shoes to fill for sure. I would like the Bulls to take this opportunity to find somebody new, interesting, ready for the challenge. Because as I said, just bumping Chuck from radio to TV, it would be a fine solution. But to me, it would be kind of just like the easy, obvious, we didn't really look too hard or try too hard solution, which kind of, again, we've talked about this. Doesn't it kind of go along the narrative of how a large part of the fan base feels about this front office? Lazy in their coaching, quote-unquote, searches. lazy in their search to replace Neil Funk, it would certainly fit the bill. But so, yeah, just I wanted to give my thoughts on that news as that broke this morning. Hopefully, Neil and his family can enjoy that extra time off this season. And hopefully, Bulls fans are treated to a new fresh face and a new voice as they bring the Bulls into our living rooms this season. And, of course, it seems like Stacey will be there for all 82. So he will have himself a new partner. And it could be a test run. This could be a test run for Neil Funk working towards retirement and the Bulls trying to find a permanent solution and a permanent replacement. So very intrigued to see what happens there. We got to take our first break here on Locked On Bulls. And when we come back, we'll be talking about ESPN's latest NBA Power Rankings, the training camp edition of Power Rankings and where the Bulls checked out there. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Locked On Bulls. We'll be right back. Guess what, Bulls Nation? Locked On NBA never went away, and it is still here for you every day. Locked On NBA is your daily national NBA podcast. Every Monday, you get the local experts on the biggest stories, and then stay with Locked On NBA all week long with daily 30-minute pods on everything going on in the National Basketball Association. You can follow for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. As a Bulls fan who also loves the NBA in general, I love Locked On NBA. David Locke, the head of the network, Josh Lloyd, who does Locked On Fantasy, and all of the other people who handle episodes of Locked On NBA do such a good job of getting every market, every team's fan base, the biggest stories you need for the NBA across the entire country. So whether it's stuff like the Minnesota Timberwolves and Jimmy Butler's rumors going on right now, what's going on with the Lakers and all those fresh faces out in L.A., everything that is happening in the NBA is being covered by that Locked On NBA show 5 days a week. As a diehard Bulls fan who wants to know what's going on around the league, it is a must listen for sure. So with that, next piece of news to get to on today's episode. Earlier today, the ESPN rankings came out for the NBA training camp. We have reached that stage of the season. 18-19 NBA season is upon us, and ESPN's NBA analysts just put out their training camp power rankings. No surprise, Golden State Warriors at the top of the list. Eastern Conference favorites, Boston Celtics, two on that list. Not a whole lot of surprises when you wake your way through the top 10. You got Rockets at three, followed by Kawhi's Raptors at four. Thunder at 5, Jazz at 6 after their impressive season last year, Sixers at 7, Indiana Pacers come in at 8, Lakers and LeBron at 9, and the Portland Trail Blazers rounding out the top 10. So, where did the Bulls fall on this list? You have to scroll all the way down to 24. 24th out of 30. Only teams coming in behind the Bulls in these ESPN power rankings, starting at 30 and working our way up to the Bulls at 24, you have 30th Atlanta, Sacramento Kings, Orlando Magic at 28, Phoenix Suns at 27, New York Knicks at 26, and the Cavs at 25. So, of Eastern Conference teams, only the Cavaliers, Knicks, and Orlando Magic, as well as the Atlanta Hawks, are projected to finish worse than the Chicago Bulls, or at least as far as power rankings go, are the only teams ESPN NBA pundits believe to be worse than the Chicago Bulls as we hit training camp. So, they have the Bulls finishing, 12th in the Eastern Conference. Not in the playoffs. So, look, I mean, I don't necessarily have anything. I don't take issue with this ranking. Like, there might be some Bulls fans out there who would say, "Wow, the Charlotte Hornets at 22. The Charlotte Hornets aren't very good. I think this young Bulls core can leapfrog Charlotte this year." You know, maybe I can understand that take. I wouldn't agree with you. You know, the Charlotte Hornets, I think, still have a little bit more than the Bulls. Kemba Walker, there's been some rumors about whether or not he wants to really buckle down and be, committing to this team moving forward, but he is still a great talent. They added Tony Parker in the offseason. He's still one of the best floor generals in the NBA. They got Miles Bridges in the draft. Bismack Biyombo, another interesting piece. And, I mean, what did they lose? Michael Carter-Williams, a joke of an NBA player, and Dwight Howard, the biggest locker room cancer in the league. They didn't lose a whole lot. Maybe you could say they didn't gain a whole lot, but I mean, and then Brooklyn Nets at 23, right in front of the Bulls at 24. I like some of the moves that Brooklyn has made in the last couple of years to correct themselves from the horrible trade they made with Boston a few years back when Prokhorov was still running things. I think Knicks, Nets, and Bulls might all be kind of in that realm of like, maybe one of them surprises people and fights their way to an eighth seed, but I think they're probably going to end up finishing somewhere 9, 10, 11, 10, 11, 12 in that realm. So I don't take issue with these power rankings from ESPN. I really don't. And interesting thing here, of course, is that ESPN had all of their different NBA reporters and insiders throwing in little paragraph, analyses for each team. The Bulls was, of course, done by Nick Friedell, friend of the pod. And this is what Nick had to say with his little blurb about the Bulls in the latest power rankings. How hot is Fred Hoiberg's seat? There's a lot of pressure on the fourth-year coach to turn this young group into a winning product this season. If the Bulls don't show signs of improvement, Hoiberg could be on the way out after an up-and-down tenure. Even in year two of a rebuild, the Bulls are hopeful they can improve in a depleted East. If they don't, Hoiberg will likely be the odd man out. That's from Nick Friedell as part of the Bulls as 24th on ESPN's training camp NBA power rankings. Interesting tidbit from Friedell there. I think everyone who has followed Friedell's coverage of the Bulls over the last several years knows that he tends to be more of a, again, there's a difference in wording here. Some would say pessimist. I would say realist. I could also you could also use the word skeptic. I am a skeptic when it comes to just how good this young Bulls core might be in rebuild year two, compared to some Bulls fans who see them as a playoff team. No doubt playoff team. I'm not there yet. And it seems like Nick Friedell is not there either. And he is talking about the guy with the most pressure on his shoulders this season, Fred Hoiberg, to make all of this work. Can he make this young team, which, again, young teams don't win a whole lot in the NBA. They're exciting. The front office achieved finally what they kept telling us they were going to do, which was getting younger and more athletic. But young does not necessarily lead to wins all the time. In fact, it's usually the opposite. And can Fred prove that he's shown signs of growth as an NBA coach? Can he prove his worth and value as an NBA coach and make it through the fifth and final year of his contract? Will he make it through the 18-19 season if the Bulls have an ugly, slow start? Don't know. Time will tell when it comes to that, but I don't think Friedell is wrong at all to say that there is a significant amount of pressure on Fred Hoiberg coming into this season. They got rid of the locker room issues. There will be individual motives and individual agendas, as Jordan and I have discussed on this show. Can Fred get all of those guys to work together? And can he, or perhaps, his staff of assistant coaches, namely Jim Boylan, do something to improve this team's defense, which was woeful last season and doesn't really look like it added any help outside of Wendell Carter Jr. to get better defensively this season? Tall task for Fred. And I can't take issue with where the Bulls come in on these power rankings. 24th to me, including 12th in the East, seems about right, doesn't it? Or I'm sorry, that's 11th in the East, ahead of the Knicks, the Cavs, the Magic, and the Hawks. Okay, so 11th in the East. I've been saying it all offseason. I think that's kind of right around where I see them. Maybe 9th or 10th, as opposed to 11th or 12th, but on the outside looking in when it comes to the playoffs and the top 8, which to me is not where you want to be. which to me is why I've said multiple times, if the Bulls are on the outside looking in when, say, March 1st rolls around, I would like the Bulls to do everything they can to lose as many games as possible in the final month and change of the season to increase those odds in the draft lottery for 2019. I think the Bulls still need another big piece added to this roster to become real contenders. Sure, they can try to maybe sign somebody in 29 free agency. Don't see that happening. Not realistic. Pulling off some huge, crazy trade for a big name star? Not very likely. So it's a little disheartening to see this this power ranking for where the Bulls stack up against the NBA and especially some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference, which will be a weak conference once again this season. No mistake about that. But I think it's accurate to rank them 24th, and it's right exactly where we, you know, don't want them to be. Worst place to be in the NBA. Not bad enough for an elite, top-level lottery pick. Not good enough to be in the playoffs. But, you know, silver lining, hey, at least that's the situation with a young core as opposed to an aging core of Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade and, you know, no future. There was no future there. And we'll get to that in our final segment when we touch on a follow-up voicemail from one of our regular listeners who has his qualms about saying the Bulls won the Jimmy Butler trade, as the Minnesota Timberwolves are now doing everything they can with their ownership going and seizing power from Tom Thibodeau to try to get Jimmy Butler out of town and get what they can for him while they can. One more break here on Locked On Bulls, and then when we come back, we'll touch on that one voicemail to wrap up today's episode. You're listening to the Locked On Bulls podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back into Locked On Bulls. I'm your host, Matt Peck, doing a solo show today while Jordan Malley is out. Just another reminder, we will be breaking down everything from Bulls Media Day in our episode tomorrow when we get Jordan back. So everything that we'll hear from Bulls players, coaching staff, the front office, everything that happens at Media Day later this afternoon, we'll break down on our episode tomorrow, Tuesday. So be sure to tune in again tomorrow. Real quick, before we get to our final segment and following up on a voicemail debate topic from last week, wanted to talk to our Bulls fans, listeners, about Vivid Seats. Guess what? NBA season is about to start. Bulls tickets are on sale. That's a thing that's real. Also, hey, maybe you want to go catch one more game at Wrigley Field or Comiskey, guaranteed, right? Before baseball season winds down, guess what? Bears got a lot of home games left on the schedule. A lot of games to be going to in Chicago right now for all Chicago sports fans. And with Vivid Seats, you can attend any of those sporting events. You can also attend concerts, shows, anything in the world of concerts, shows, theater, the event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. So, lots of Bulls basketball ahead. Lots of Bears football ahead. Few more series for the Cubs and Sox as we near the end of the baseball season. You're looking for tickets? Go check out Vivid Seats. So, with that, let us get to our final segment, which is a follow-up voicemail from our friend Mike in D.C. He's got an issue with something we said on a previous show.
What's going on, guys? It's Mike from D.C. I have a comment and a question. So my comment, I can't take it anymore. I can't take listening to you guys talk about how we won that Jimmy Butler trade, because it's just false. Just because you get something for a person you expect to leave, that doesn't mean that you won the trade. It does, however, mean that the front office, even though I hate them and want them gone, the front office was justified in trading him. But it doesn't mean that you won. You got no talent for the talent that Jimmy Butler has. None of their talent equals what he does. So there's absolutely no way that you can win a trade when you trade a superstar for three guys who you don't even know what they're going to be. There's no way that you can say that you won that trade. You can say that it was justified. You can say that it was the right thing to do. But you cannot say that we won the trade. We didn't. We gave up more talent than we got. That's just a fact of the matter. So that was my comment. My question is, I'm thinking about going to flying to Chicago. I flew to Chicago back in 2015 for a game. I'm thinking about doing it again. I want to know if I do that, if I can contact you guys, because I want to meet you guys. You know, I disagree with you guys sometimes, but, you know, I love the show, love the pod. You guys got some interesting takes. So, you know, I kind of just want to meet you guys. So let me know. Hopefully you play this voicemail, and talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for checking in again, Mike. Always great to hear from you. And to quickly address the back end of your voicemail, absolutely, man. If you come through Chicago, let us know when it's going to be. And Jordan and or myself would love to meet up with you, go to, you know, watch a game at a bar, grab a bite to eat, you know, maybe eat some deep dish or an Italian beef, whatever you want to do. We're around. I live in the city. Jordan lives in a very, very close suburb. And it would be great to get together, man. And that goes not only for Mike, but for anybody who is maybe one of our out-of-town listeners who's passing through Chicago. Or maybe you are a Bulls fan right here in Chicago or in the suburbs. Jordan and I are always wanting to be accessible to our listeners because we really appreciate you guys. So it was great to do our first live event when we did our Bowling with Bobby event earlier this month. We had a great time meeting some of our listeners there, and we are looking forward to doing more events like that in the future. But hey, 331-979-1369. That's our text and voicemail line. If you are a Bulls fan and a listener of this show who wants to get together at some point, hang out, grab a meal, grab a beer, Jordan and I want to be accessible to you guys and would love to meet our listeners. So don't be shy about that. Now, let's get to the important part of Mike's voicemail, which is saying that you cannot say that the Bulls won the Jimmy Butler trade. And of course, this is the hot talking point right now as more and more crazy stuff is happening with Butler and the Wolves and Glenn Taylor, their owner, kind of seizing power away from coach/GM Tom Thibodeau, who did not want to trade Jimmy and was telling his staff to shut down all inquiries. Now, the Minnesota Timberwolves owner, Glenn Taylor, is saying, we need to trade Jimmy. We need to trade him ASAP so we get this distraction off our hands and off our minds as we enter training camp. Also, earlier over the weekend, locking down Karl Anthony Towns to that massive rookie deal extension, which is something that they had been trying to get done. And Towns didn't want to do it until the Butler thing was resolved. Well, the Butler thing hasn't been resolved yet, but clearly the Timberwolves made it clear that, to Karl Anthony Towns that, look, we're going to trade Jimmy. It's just a matter of when, and it will be as soon as possible. So, look, Bulls fans want to take what's going on in Minnesota and what's going on with Jimmy and, you know, kind of look at it through the lens of back 15 months ago, did the Bulls make the right call by trading Jimmy? And Mike in D.C. here, and again, I don't want to get your words twisted, and I want to give you credit for expressing your opinion thoughtfully. It's not that you're saying the Bulls were wrong to trade Jimmy Butler. It sounds like Mike is okay with that decision. And for all of the mistakes the front office has made and for all of the reasons that he wants his front office replaced, Mike thinks that trading Jimmy was the right move, or at least justified. But in Mike's opinion, that does not equal being able to say that the Bulls won the Jimmy Butler trade. And I get that take from Mike. I think it's a fair take to make. But I counter it with the following. It depends on how you define win the trade. Mike, in his email, says the Bulls didn't get any talent in the Jimmy Butler trade, and then quickly corrects himself, because I'm sorry, to say they got no talent when you bring in Markkanen, Dunn, and LaVine is ridiculous. So Mike kind of corrects himself to say, well, they didn't get talent equal to that of Jimmy Butler. And I think, and then he goes on to say, you know, he's a superstar talent. You trade away a superstar talent, you don't get anything close to that kind of talent in return. So you can't say that they won the trade, because when you're talking about talent sent away and talent received, the Bulls lost more talent than they got back. I understand that take, again, but I don't necessarily agree with it. And I don't agree with your analysis of that meaning the Bulls didn't win that trade. To say Jimmy Butler is a superstar, in my opinion, is a bit of a reach. He's a very good player. I would put him at a top 20, maybe top 15 player in the league. But superstar to me, I don't know. He is a borderline superstar, certainly all-star. We all know that it is nearly impossible to get equal value in return for a player of that caliber when you trade them away in the NBA. It just doesn't happen, Mike. Never happens, getting equal value for a player like that. However, fast forwarding to the present, after the deal went down on draft night 2017, when the Bulls were crucified for that trade, and I was thinking to myself, and not just to myself, but to anyone who asked my opinion, and any of the shows that I was doing back then, I think this trade is okay. I think that was a decent haul in return for Jimmy Butler. Yes, Mike is correct to say that we don't really know yet what we have with Dunn and LaVine in particular, because Dunn had such a rocky first year in Chicago after a ghost of a rookie year in Minnesota. And Zach LaVine was on a minutes restriction and only played 25 or so games coming off an ACL. So there are a lot of question marks with those two. I get that take. But to say that collectively, the talents of Markkanen, Dunn, and LaVine, collectively, don't equal the talent of Jimmy Butler, Mike, I'm sorry, I think you're wrong. They are collectively all younger, and they collectively all have something to offer to this rebuild. Collectively, I think you can say that adding the talents of Markkanen, Dunn, and LaVine gets you pretty darn close to the collective talent of the one individual that is Jimmy Butler. So that's what I take issue with, Mike. I know what you're saying, and I think what you're saying, I should say, is that none of the guys the Bulls got are as good as Jimmy. That's obviously true. Markkanen, and it depends on who you think has the highest ceiling, maybe one of these players goes on to have a career on par or close to Jimmy's when you're talking about making all NBA rosters, making all-star appearances, and that kind of stuff. Maybe. We don't know if that will happen with any of these three guys yet from the Butler trade. But to say that you can't say the Bulls won the trade simply because they didn't get equal value in return for Butler, in your opinion, I'm sorry, Mike, but like that's just not how I see it. It depends on how you define winning the trade. To me, winning the trade is, are the Bulls better off after having traded Jimmy and with the pieces they have compared to where they would be right now if they hadn't made the Butler trade and Jimmy was still here? That is how I define win the trade. It is not, did you get more talent than the team you made the trade with? Did you, quote unquote, fleece, or whatever, you know, whatever fancy fun verb it is that people like to use when they're talking about trades and which team won the trade and which team lost. Hey, I mean, just making a quick tangent and an example, the Bears fleeced the Oakland Raiders when they took Khalil Mack from them. That is fair. But I'm sorry, I don't think either Minnesota or Chicago did horribly in this trade when it happened a year and 3 months ago. But fast forwarding to the present, I absolutely think with everything that's gone on with Jimmy, and yes, you do kind of have to factor that in, that the Bulls are in a better position. They are better off right now with Dunn, Markkanen, and LaVine than they would be had they not traded Jimmy. And I'm sorry, Mike, to say that Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen collectively don't make up the talent that is Jimmy Butler, I think that you're overvaluing Jimmy Butler when you say that. I really do. He's a great player, but to say that he individually equals more basketball talent than the combined talents of Markkanen, Dunn, and LaVine, I think you're wrong. You are free to have that opinion, but I think you're wrong. And again, to me, that's not the only way to determine winning the trade. It's about whether or not the Bulls are better off right now for having made the trade and the talent they got back because of making that trade. So that's just the detailed little discrepancies of what I wanted to clear up from Mike's follow-up voicemail. And I appreciate him voicing that opinion. And I don't think Mike's necessarily wrong, alone, rather, in that opinion. I think there are a lot of Bulls fans who still think the Bulls lost that trade. And those who do might have different definitions of what it means to lose a trade or win a trade, as I was just expressing, in my opinion, what it means to win or lose a trade. And again, Mike and anyone else who has that opinion has the right to that opinion. I hear a lot of the times, because I voice my opinion so strongly and I call out those that I think are wrong, some of our, you know, our hate listeners, and I love hate listeners, say, oh my God, dude, Peck, you can never be wrong about any of your opinions. No. I respect that Mike has a different opinion than I do, but I wanted to talk through some of the finer details of why Mike might have that opinion versus the opinion that I have. And that's why we started our text to voicemail line, because we wanted to get different opinions from our listeners. But in my opinion, and hey, guess what? I got the mic. I'm talking. In my opinion, it's silly to say that the Bulls did not win that Jimmy Butler trade. Depends on your definition of winning a trade and losing a trade. But to me, and how I define it, and looking at what we have now and where we are now and where Jimmy Butler and the Timberwolves are now, the Bulls won that trade, Mike. The Bulls won that trade. They didn't beat Minnesota in a trade for themselves and for the future of their franchise. They won the trade. That's how I see it. That's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening. For Jordan Malley, who we will get back tomorrow for our Media Day breakdown episode, this is Matt Peck saying thanks so much for listening, Bulls Nation. Have a great Monday. Enjoy all that great Media Day content that's coming later this afternoon. Jordan and I will be back tomorrow to break it all down on another fresh episode. Just a reminder to continue sending us those texts and voicemails, 331-979-1369. You got any thoughts, any questions about stuff that we get from Media Day later today, send them our way. We will address as many of them as we can on our Wednesday mailbag episode. And I'm guessing we'll probably get a lot of stuff over the next couple of days with Media Day content. So who knows? We might have to do some extra mailbag segments throughout our Thursday and Friday episodes as well. So again, thanks for listening, Bulls Nation. Have a great Monday. This is Matt Peck saying take it easy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.